Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. I'm trying a different setup for my microphone. Instead of it, I would have it coming down and at me. Now I'm coming it from up and at me. So I don't know what would be better. Like what? Because I see people as they're doing like their YouTube channels and they're doing other podcasts that have videos attached to them and what they have it at. Like I have the Shure podcaster microphone that I spent money on however many years ago to do this. But anyway, so in this episode, I wanted to discuss the fall TV season and how it has changed so much over the years, especially between the 90s and the early 2000s to today. 80s, like I feel like the fall seasons were there, but I don't remember it as much because I really didn't watch normal. I was like Saturday morning cartoons. I was a child, so I wasn't like worried about whatever sitcom was coming on at the time. But as the 90s came along and the early 2000s, I was much more involved in the TV watching and what we watched and what I wanted to watch. Do you remember when the fall lineup was like an event? When you grabbed the new TV guide? And let me discuss the TV guide. I don't know about you guys, but in my house, it was like a Bible, okay? You would get it in the mail because we had a subscription for it. This is before you would have like the digital version of a TV guide. This was the actual paper magazine, little booklet thing. I still have a few that were the special edition covers. I think I have one that had Captain Picard of this for Star Trek Next Generation. I have the one that had Frank Sinatra on it when he passed. And there's another one that we have that was random. I don't know. I guess it was for my mom. We would get it. And it would be like everybody, okay, gather around kind of thing. And my mom would go through it and then she would pretty much tell my dad what was on and then what he would want to watch or whatever. He would look at it too, but I think my mom was the one that would like mark it up. It would be highlighted, circled, you know, you would have a schedule around when these shows came on. And they would have in the very beginning of the book and between little blurbs of the new things that were coming out. And then as you moved to more of a digital age after the 90s, you would get like the alerts from the networks and then like these pages that would be like the new fall lineup, what's coming out, what's coming back, what's getting another season, blah, 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 and what's being canceled. And you would then go through it again in the same type of fashion, but it would be online and I would make notes and be like, okay, this sounds interesting. This sounds interesting. I want to watch that. This sounds good. And then you would, you know, eventually watch it. You would actually program the VCR. And if you missed it, you missed the show. So back in the day, before DVRs, before anything that was streaming, you would set up your VCR. Like, we couldn't watch more than one show at a time. So you would set up the VCR to record in another room for another show, or if you weren't home, that would be set up. And God forbid something happened on TV, like the State of the Union or breaking news, something happening, that it would fall into whatever was recording and then you missed it. Sometimes you'd have reruns. Sometimes they wouldn't have a new episode out, so the next week you would have the rerun of the previous week, or maybe not. Sometimes on the weekend, sometimes at night, you were able to like maybe catch it. But it was harder to actually go back to watch something you missed, especially if the VCR was not set up properly or if it was recording something else or somebody messed it up, was on a completely different station, whatever it was. You missed it. And I think when it comes to that immediacy, which I talk about all the time in my podcast and in my blog, that immediacy, I think, is really hurting us. It's, you know, we consume so much. And I feel like while we may be consuming, I don't feel like we're getting the same quality. Quantity, yeah, I guess it's there. But quality is not. Because they're trying to like push and push and push so many things out there, and people are binge watching things. And I know that they still have shows that they kind of went back to the original way of releasing them on a weekly basis. So like on Amazon, like the Fallout show, which I absolutely loved, and I cannot wait until that one comes out. They would have it on weekly, but people will wait and then just binge watch it afterwards, unless you have like a group of people you talk to and you have like Game of Thrones, you know, or something else that you might have like a group of people who are talking about it and you have to watch it, otherwise forget it. Spoiler alert, or they're like, get out of here. You should have watched it. It's your fault. And then online, people spoil things online all the time. Like you go on there and you're like, I didn't have a chance to watch it that night, and now I just ruined it. Especially when you have like a cliffhanger and you're waiting, and it's like, you know, a monumentous moment that everybody's, you know, the world's coming apart, and you, and all you want to know is if somebody survives to the next season or to the next episode or whatever it is. And then you have some person who decides to post everything about it on whatever social media thing that you might be on. So you have to like kind of watch it as soon as you can, or just stay away from social media and hope to God you don't hear people talking about it if there's enough people around you watching it. As you can hear, I'm going a little bit beyond the 80s and 90s, so like early 2000s, because I really feel like after the 2010s and more of the streaming services started to come out, the whole fall TV lineup and people like really excited. I don't hear people talking about it as much. If it's even, do we even have fall shows anymore that come out and that's that? Or is it just whenever they perhaps release it? I don't know enough about that because I don't watch normal television anymore or even pay attention to new shows that are on like Netflix, Amazon. Like I said, Fallout, because my son was very much into all the Fallout games. So when we found out that they were making a show about it, we obviously, he wanted to watch it, and I'm interested in that stuff, and they did an excellent job. So I'm interested. But beyond that, like, I'm really not watching. I watch YouTube videos, I watch the behavioral panel, I watch like true crime stuff, but normal shows anymore, I feel like I will re-watch ones that I absolutely love, like Supernatural, the first 5 seasons, all of Star Trek Next Generation will watch completely through all the time. And whatever happened to the seasons being 20 some episodes long? Now it's like the fall, I understand it's expensive. Everything's so goddamn expensive nowadays. So them creating, paying these actors and doing the stuff, it's expensive, and they only do what, like 6 or 7 episodes? I really feel like we're, again, it's like quantity versus quality. And like I said, Fallout is an exception. Like, there's other ones out there that aren't bad either. But I don't feel like they're anywhere near what we had. Now, granted, back in the day when they had all of the fall lineup, there was a ton that would come out, but then there would be a ton that would get canceled. So there was quite a few shows that I watched and found to be fascinating that nobody allowed to breathe long enough. So you're not going to get everything in the first episode. They're just kind of gearing you up to what it's about. And I feel like people never allowed it to kind of breathe, or enough people anyway. There was a show called Threshold that I loved that got canceled. Limitless, I think, didn't get a second season. I really enjoyed that. I know that was based off the movie, but I really enjoyed, I never watched the movie, just saw the show, and I really liked the show. So besides Limitless, there was Timeless. I loved Timeless. They had, I think, 2 seasons, and they got canceled after the third. There was points where it was trying to do too much than it needed to do, but I really liked the characters, really enjoyed them. Then you have other shows that go on so freaking long. Like, okay, hear me out. I said this multiple times, I absolutely love Supernatural, but 15 seasons. Vampire Diaries, I don't know how many seasons that was. That went on for too long. True Blood, beyond the first season, went on for too long because it completely screwed up that story. And there was ample information to take from with the novels that Charlene Harris wrote. I'm going to harp on this forever and ever and ever. But I'm just saying. So you have these shows that have these really great concepts and that you're into, and they're creative and they're different. They're not a police procedural. They're not another hospital thing. It's something different. I don't feel like people give it enough time to breathe and get into it. Like, come on. Anyhow. So the TV guides had special issues, like I said, and they would have whatever featured show or returning of a show or somebody who's new to the scene, or like the one Frank Sinatra, a tribute to someone who passed. It felt like, not that I enjoyed a new school year, but I did enjoy getting like all of the pencils and the notepads. So a fall TV season was kind of like that. Like, you're getting all these new ideas and these new things. Because let's face it, we're living in this world. We're getting up, especially nowadays. You're getting up. You're going to work. You're coming home. and you're going, you're doing all whatever you need to do, and then, you know, you, we don't really have a lot of room to do a whole lot of stuff unless you're, you know, prepared better than I did and better than some people. You had all of these shows to kind of take you away from that everyday thing, and in a good way. Like, they had really great immersive storylines. And then nowadays, I feel like they're just trying to, like, how many more Star Wars spinoff shows do they need to do? How many more Marvel shows spinoffs do they need to do? I understand that Marvel and the comic book universe has a lot of stories to pull from, so they could do it if they do it properly. But the problem is that I think that there's a lot of other things that are going on. There's, like, politics. There's all this, like, you know, other stuff that goes on with it that I think they allowed to get in the way of just telling a good story instead of just allowing that story to be and then, you know, moving on. And then if you wanted to do something else for somebody else, create a new story. How about that? Creativity, I feel, is not around as much anymore. It's not as prevalent. It's not as, I don't know, or it's just, we're just not seeing it. I don't know. Maybe it's there, but we're just not seeing it. I don't know. So, like I said, TV Guide was there to plan that week and what you're going to watch and when you're going to watch it, how you're going to set up your VCR. And then when we got the DVRs, that's when you were allowed to watch or at least record two different shows at two different times. You could be watching one and recording another one, or unless you had two DVR boxes, you could be watching a show and recording two other things. And that's kind of, I think, where we're kind of like losing that lack of just waiting and that anticipation, and it's like more of the immediacy, because, and then we just had so much to watch, and I think it was too much. And now we're getting to a point where you have a lot of things, but you have to have all these different streaming services to get them. Like, I trade off between the HBO, Disney, Hulu bundle and Netflix. Don't get Peacock, don't get like Paramount, I don't get the AMC Plus. There's so many out there, it's kind of crazy. But I'll go back and forth, because there's a lot more available through like the HBO bundle than say just Netflix alone. But there's, you know, I always have Amazon because I have Amazon Prime, so that comes with it. Although now they have ads and you have to pay an extra $2.99 to get rid of the ads. It's like, dude, I've paid you yearly before. Now it's monthly because I couldn't afford the yearly, even though I do save money on the yearly. And you can't even just not give me ads. Like, I hate ads. I really do. I hated them back in the day and I hate them now. But I'm not going to pay the extra $2.99. You're already getting enough money for me, Amazon. Other than that, I'm, you know, kind of jaded with a lot of the shows. I really don't watch too much new stuff anymore. I kind of go back and watch the old shows that I really do enjoy, unless somebody specifically says, this is a great show. To them, maybe. Sometimes I'm like, I don't really, you know, I just think I'm just kind of gone to the degree of like just being jaded to the whole TV universe and just not wanting to even just deal with it and who's watching what. And I don't know, unless it's like very riveting and very engaging. Most of the time when I come home and after I work and I make dinner and I just sit and like after I write, because I've been making time to do stuff for my website, for Substack, writing to my novel that I'm finally actually, I have 10 chapters written. I only intend to do it for 14. I'm expanding them to make them longer, but like, you know, I want to add more things. But right now I'm in that draft period, which is the furthest I've ever gotten in any story because I finally figured out where I'm going to go with it. Anyway, that's a side thing. But so I have time, I'm making time for all of these things. And like the weekends, I do the recording for this, I edit it, I post it, whatever, because these are things I want to do and I enjoy. So when after I'm done all of that and I go into the living room, sometimes I don't put the TV on and all, or I play a game instead, or I just fart around on my phone, or I read, or if I'm watching something, it's like a YouTube channel that is a commentary about debunking ghost videos, like John Wolf, or I'm watching Markiplier because I find his stuff hilarious, and or they're playing, like Jacksepticeye, who plays these games, gets so into them, and I enjoy that because he gets into games just as much as I get into games, so I enjoy that, and or I watch, like I said, the behavioral panel, because I like to look at body language stuff, I find it fascinating, but for the most part, I'm not watching shows. Because I don't even want to be invested in something because, one, I have no one to really talk to about it. I have a few friends, but I don't care either. Like, you can tell me all about it. Tell me everything about it. I may or may not watch it. So don't expect me to be like on top of all of these new shows. I'm just kind of over it right now, or forever, who knows. But beyond that, I think right now, and like, I don't have that anticipation anymore. I don't have something to look forward to. Did you guys have that anticipation and something to look forward to? Did you get TV Guide in your household? Was it something that you all like, you know, marked up and said, I want to watch this. This is what I'm going to watch. Oh, look, there's a movie on that I have been wanting to see. And then after that, did it shift for you as well? Did you notice like kind of how it slowly kind of went away, that whole fall TV lineup? So you had TiVo and DVRs, but it also changed the way we experienced TV, which I was saying, like the early binge watching and the season passes and the first taste of watch it whenever. And that immediacy, I think, is really killing that whole thing, besides the fact that they're recycling, rebooting, and the lack of original ideas. So you have, you're comparing these ideas from the 80s and 90s, so like ALF, Twin Peaks, The X-Files, which I found to be bold new ideas. I mean, ALF was awesome, come on. I think also nostalgia is looks at as like a double-edged sword. It's great, but it's also a crutch. They're taking things that our generation holds dearly, rebooting it, trying to form it into today's vision, which doesn't ever work. And if you don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't reboot it. We love it the way it is. We love it the way it, because it's nostalgic for a reason. Now, I know that they've like doing like, all right, they're doing another Goonies movie, so they're going to be grown up. I don't know how, what the story is going to be beyond it. Is it going to be their kids? Are they going on another adventure? But as much as it'll be cool to see them all together again, do we need that? You know, I heard that they were going to be doing another Neverending Story. Now, for Neverending Story, the book by Michael Ende had a lot of extra stuff in there that they didn't put in the original or even the second one. I've never seen the third one. Not gonna see the third one. And there was a lot that they kind of left out, even in the main line with Bastion when he went through a whole lot more than what they showed in the movie. And they kind of touched on that a little bit with the one with Jonathan Brandis. They actually brought in some of the other story bits in there. But I think with nowadays visual effects, but I think they need to pull back from CGI stuff. I think they really need to go back to using like puppetry and stuff like that and actual like special effects. Use the Jim Henson Company, okay? For the love of God, just use it because they're awesome, all right? Yeah, I know Jim Henson's no longer around, but his son worked with him all his freaking life and he knows what he's doing. The whole Jim Henson Creature Shop, just do it, okay? Because they're awesome. You don't need to use CGI for everything. But anyway, so I think if they were to redo, say, like a Neverending Story, yes, but there's also a certain type of, it's like the Gem and the Holograms movie that they tried to do, all right? That could have been cool because they were bringing it as a live action instead of it being a cartoon. They effed that up because they tried to move it into like this YouTube world and they switched a lot of things and they didn't even bring in the original singer from Gem and the Holograms. That I was a big proponent of saying, don't go watch this movie. I'm glad it did as poorly as it did because maybe they'll learn the lesson. Highly doubted they haven't. They've been redoing movies all over the place and effing it up. So, yeah, I was excited for it when they first were teasing it. But then when they came out and they, like, didn't, it was just stupid. It was just, they just fucked it up. So if you want to try, if somebody else wants to try do the Gem and the Holograms live action movie, why don't you just make it in the period of the 80s like it was and do it live action and make it just as a period piece if you want to do it that way. It's a vintage period piece of the 1980s. And then just do it that way. Like, stop fucking things up. Stop trying to mold it to today when you don't need to. There's a reason people loved it. Don't freaking mess it up. Anyway. Beyond that, I can be on my soapbox about the whole Gemini. Like, you could ask my friend, like, how pissed off I was about that stupid movie. So, again, when it going back to, like, that missing out, you had this whole, you had to wait for a summer rerun, or, like I said, if it was late at night, if they didn't have a new episode out the next week, you could maybe record it or catch it at that point. But it made TV a more communal, more special thing because you were all having to get there at the same time. It wasn't just like, oh, by the way, you need to go and watch this on the DVR before we delete it. We watched it the other night. And it's like you all watched it at different times because I understand people's schedules are all over the place. But it, I really do think that it's ruined that whole family togetherness. Like I've talked about in the Blockbuster nights, I've talked about in the family board game night or just game nights. I feel like that's just not there. And if you can't do it for television, which is totally fine, but nowadays you can because you can just go with, you can go with anybody's schedule because it's all there for you anyway. But if you can do that and like schedule a time to say, hey, why don't we all just sit down and watch this together? I think it's better that way than it's just whenever you get a chance. And then we'll maybe discuss it next time I may see you. I think that whole social aspect of it's kind of out the window. And yeah, and like today's binge and forget mentality versus the anticipation and savoring of one episode a week. And even like I said, even though they do have that with certain episodes, like certain shows, people will wait and they'll just binge it later. Like, you know, unless you have like a group of people that you need to talk to about it. But beyond that, like really what's stopping us to just binge it all in one go? You're not savoring it. You're not enjoying it as it comes out in the anticipation for the next week. I feel like Game of Thrones was kind of like the biggest thing that was like that. And that was a while ago at this point. And then they effed up the whole ending. So it was kind of just like, you kind of screwed that up at the end anyway. The fall TV season, completely dead, I think. Yeah, and if I'm missing it, please tell me. If you're like, maybe I'm just really out of that loop that there is still all these shows that keep coming out. I see like the things that are advertised on like Netflix. I see it on Amazon because like, you know, I see anything that's, you know, a HBO original or like a Hulu original because they have some interesting things. Hulu's weird. Hulu's got like a few, like you have HBO has like quality stuff on there. And then you have Disney, which has all the Disney stuff that they have and blah, blah, blah. Quality is questionable. But anyway, but Hulu's like a cesspool of like this random shit that they just like, you know what, Hulu's that other stuff, but there's some cool things on there that you're like, oh my god, I haven't seen this in a long time, I didn't even know this was available somewhere. That's Hulu. So I don't mind when I go back to that, so I'll just like go through that because I listen to stuff at work because I'm, you know, working with spreadsheets, fun. So you want to listen to something that's interesting or whatever, and that's why I listen to like the behavioral panel and all that stuff, because you don't necessarily have to be looking at something specifically because they're talking about it, unless you like look down and you're like, oh yeah, she does look like she's lying or whatever. Do you feel that it's dead? And do you feel like we should have that back? Do you believe that everything, if we didn't have it at our fingertips, was a good thing? Because nowadays, so like my son hasn't known a time. He's known it for like a DVR, I think it was like in the very beginning, but it was very small at that point. And then it was like the streaming services and then YouTube, obviously, the rise of all of that. He doesn't necessarily know, like, if we had a show that we liked during the 80s or 90s, it was very hard to find it if it never was, you know, re-released or was in, when they did the reruns and stuff like that. They never, if it was done and done and you just never saw it again, and then like randomly they might have released like a DVD or something, like, or VHS, depending where, how old it is, and then it's like ridiculously expensive because it's out of print, then it's hard to find those things. And we just dealt without having it. Whereas if my son wanted to go and see something that he thinks as nostalgic for himself as being a child, then he just can go and like search it on Disney, or he can go search it on Netflix, or just search it on YouTube itself, you know, and it's there. It's like immediate. It's right there at his fingertips. So he doesn't understand the idea of never seeing that thing again. It's always available somewhere. Is that better? Like, it might be in a sense like we could relive stuff, but they're not going to understand. That generation's not going to understand not having it. We have, because it's been out there a couple decades that we haven't seen something, and then it comes available on some sort of streaming service. Do you believe that that's something that, you know, is that a good thing because we don't have that? We didn't have that immediacy. And again, you're savoring it as you're watching it at the time rather than it just going through one ear and out the other because you're like, oh, I'll just catch it later. If I didn't pay attention today, I'll just do it tomorrow. Like, is it detrimental to us as a society, you know, if you're going to go into a psychological cyclone and deep dive into fall TV seasons and how it psychologically ruins us, I don't know. But do you think it's something that we really... Is it something that's making it worse for us in a societal way? Like, I feel, like I said, I've always consistently thought about it because I would always watch television with my mom and dad. And the only times where I really didn't is like the Saturday morning cartoons, because my dad would be outside working. My mom would be, you know, cleaning something or also outside working in the garden. And then I would be watching TV, and then I'd eventually join everybody outside. It wouldn't be like an indoor thing all of the time. Other than that, we were always watching it together. Did we always like what we were watching? Not necessarily, because say it was something that my dad wanted to watch or my mom wanted to watch, but or it was something that we all enjoyed. Like I watched Sequest DSV with all of my family, and it was great. The X-Files scared the shit out of me back in the day, but especially that one with the dude that could squeeze through any size hole or anything. It was no thank you. There was like some creepy parts in that one, but yeah, we would watch all that Star Trek. You know, I was glad that all my mom and dad both liked it, because I enjoyed it immensely. You know, we're kind of missing out, like I said, with the Blockbuster nights, with the whole family kind of get together and sit down. And I don't care. I do care, but I you can say like, oh, we have these video these pictures up on Facebook and said, look, we had a family night. What you post on Facebook is a curated life. And it's taken me a long time to really accept that, because I would keep going on to Facebook or any social media and like comparing my life to them. Because when I post shit on Facebook, it's pretty honest. Like, my life's shit. I hate everything. You know, these are the things that are leading me down this really horrible path and blah, blah, blah. Talking about my mom, about like dementia and everything that's going on. So, and then I'll have like pictures of like my son having his birthday and having a good day, because I'm like, and I will say, I was like, today was a good day. And it was legitimately a good day. But I will also show you all the bad days. Everyone else really curates what they put up there. So, you know, case in point, there was a person that I didn't know specifically, but I knew what their home life was like. And then they were posting stuff on there like it was, you know, everything was great. And they look in that box of social media looked perfect, but it wasn't. It was not. So when you're posting that you had a movie night with your family, but then you're showing the pictures of your kids on their tablets or on their phones, and really they're in the room, but they're not really watching it with you. It's not togetherness. You're there, but separate. How about what I think would be a cool idea, and I only have my son and myself now, so it's not like I don't have like a family unit in general to kind of go to anymore. But if you do, maybe create your own TV guide. Like, get creative with it and just say, okay, here is what the menu is of here's your selection of what we could watch, and that you can only watch one thing that night. You can't watch, you know, multiple things in different rooms, like only, and we all have to agree on it. I know that's a difficult one, but you can do it. I believe in you. And then, you know, get some like popcorn, some snack. I don't care. Like, you can do whatever, and you don't have to do this at all, but it's an idea. And like, kind of recreate that, and like have the kids understand like how it was, and just accepting and maybe even acknowledging the fact that we do have all of these things immediately to us, and then maybe being a little bit more appreciative of it, not taking everything for granted. Because at some point, if this digital thing ever crash and burns at some point for some other reason, and you don't have that, how will they survive? We might be able to. I mean, you know, we'll have to like regress because we're so used to everything. But what happened? What, you know, how will they react? What it would be like for them? So yeah, that's an idea. Bryce and I, we actually watched The Princess Bride the other night. No phones, other than like searching for, like, I have a tendency to do like, is this person still alive? How old that were, you know, what are they doing now and stuff like that. But for the most part, we sat and watched it, legitimately like watched it. And I hadn't watched it in a while. I read the book recently, and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and freaking watch this. And Bryce was like, why watch it? I'm like, Princess Bride. And he just sat down and he was like, and he watched it to the end. And I was like, this is great. I haven't sat, and it was a great movie, because he wants to watch Robin Hood Men in Tights. So I'm going to see maybe well, we're gonna go see a movie tonight, but yeah. I would like to do that more frequently. Maybe not every night. I know, like, as I have other things I want to do, I know he wants to do other things. That's fine. But, you know, once in a while is a great opportunity to just sit and, like, enjoy something together. You don't have to talk unless, you know, you've seen it enough times from all of you to, like, you can a little bit. Like, my mom, oh, my God. I think I said I mentioned that before. She would repeat lines that she knew. So if you've never seen a movie and it was one that my mom watched, don't watch it with, like, you can't watch it with her anymore. But if she was my mom the way she was, you don't watch a movie with her if you've never seen it and it's one of her favorite movies, because she will talk through it and she will tell you things before it happens and you would get so aggravated. So, yeah. But I don't do that. Unless we've already seen it, and then I'll be like, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. That is it. So, but yeah, for the most part, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm pretty good. I'm a good movie companion. I will not say anything unless you say something to me, and then I'll respond. But other than that, like, yeah, I'm pretty good because I like to get immersed in the movie. That's why, like, when you go to the movie theater and you have these people who spend money to go and see this movie, and then they're on their phones. Posting what? What are you doing? You can't wait the 2 hours, however long the stupid movie is, and then you, why'd you come here? And then they talk, and it's like, oh my God. Like, I'm not a very patient person in general, but I don't, you know, make a scene. I won't say anything, but it is irritating, and I hate it. So I don't care how many times they put the warnings on there. It's like, and the movie is on the big screen. Turn your phone off or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, nobody does it. I don't turn my phone off, but I turn it on like do not disturb or something. And the only reason why I hadn't turned it off in the most recent times is because if my son needed anything, because especially when my mom was still here. Now I kind of turn it off and he knows when I message him when I'm there. But he's coming with me tonight for the movie, so we're good. Yeah, but beyond that, do you miss the fall TV lineup? Do you miss the TV guide? My niece, who's only a few months younger than me, was obsessed with the TV guide. Even as when she was little, they would give it to her as like a toy for her to go through. So yeah, it's like the TV guide was a big deal. So do you miss that? Do you think it's something that we are tragically lacking? You know, would that make us better people? I don't know about that, but that's a miracle. But is that something that we should probably kind of maybe integrate into our lives? It might not be something that the mass medias are going to do because they're getting money. So, of course, they don't give a shit about family life. They just want to make sure they're making their dollar bills. But is that something that maybe we should start integrating into family life on our own? Is that a good idea? Do you hear all the birds in the background? I'm so sorry. Like, it's great. I love it. I love hearing the birds because nature and me, I don't go out and commune enough with it. So I hope you enjoy the nature background sound, because I turn the microphone volume up to hear me a little bit better. But then you're going to hear the birds too. That's okay. One day I'll figure all this out. I don't have we may be moving from the upstairs apartment to the downstairs apartment. One, it'll be a little bit cheaper. We'll be losing a little bit of space, which that's my main concern because I like the space that we have. But it would be completely renovated and cheaper, which really that bottom line is money for me. But anyway, so this is my 48th episode. I'll have one more and then it's going to be my 50th episode. And I have a couple of ideas of what I want to do. So I'm going to tease it now. I'll probably put something up on my website. I'll probably put something up on a teaser thing on Spotify itself, and then on YouTube, as well as all my Facebook and I haven't even used Instagram. I have to probably go back to that. So there's too many social media things, and Facebook is like my main thing because I'm an old fart. If MySpace was still around, I'd be using that. I think it is still around, but it's like whatever. But if it wasn't what it was, I'd be using that. So my idea is I want to do it live, probably through YouTube, but I think it streams to, because you could do it through Twitch and YouTube to stream live, and then it'll go onto Spotify. It will like upload to Spotify. I don't know if that would be live or it will just upload whatever the recording is. And it's through OBS, which I have that all set up for the live because I've done that before. I'll have to like do some tests beforehand because I haven't done it in a while. I want to do a, so the special 50th episode extravaganza. And I put live question mark. I think I want to do it live. And you're going to have a video instead of just hearing me. Because all of my podcasts that I do, I record myself with OBS, with my camera. So I have video for every single one of these podcasts. But I don't post the video because who wants to see me? But I think this will be a good idea, and to do it live. And then I want to do top five of everything countdown, as well as behind the mic, the origin story of why I decided to do a podcast. The countdowns, the top five everything countdown. I'm going to do a collection of things. Some of them will be like, say, the commercials, embarrassing trends, TV shows, some music, you know, a little bit here and there. So I think it'll be a little bit longer. The live, especially, you'll hear me doing the ums and likes that I edit out when I do the podcast, when I do the edits later. So it'll be live and unedited. So that'll be fun. And you'll see my face. So yay. So I think I'm going to do that. And if you have any other like suggestions, if you want me to do something specific for the 50th thing, I don't have a lot of like interaction with people. I have a couple of comments that done, but beyond that, I really don't have a lot of back and forth, and I don't have any, the only special guest I had on was Bryce. Maybe I'll bring him in midway in if he wants to, if he feels up to that. But beyond that, I like, because I was looking to see like how other people do things, and they'll have like a Q&A, but I'm like, who's going to be on there to do a Q&A? If you happen to be on there, I will definitely answer if you're on there, if you go on YouTube. So it'll be a Sunday night, like I would post a normal podcast. It will be a Sunday evening. I'll put a schedule out if you're interested in that, if you have anything that you'd like me to add. So this is, like I said, the 48th, so this will come out the 11th. The 49th will be the 18th. So it'll be Memorial Day weekend, which is fine because then I can do it on a Sunday night and it'll be off the next day. So that's fine with me. I was off today because I actually, why I was late posting my last episode is because I was in a car accident in 2019, a pretty major one, and I haven't heard any disc from it. I hadn't had too many issues with it. If I did anything extravagant with like lifting furniture when we were moving, it would flare up and I would have like some major pain or I couldn't stand up properly. It would be bad. But I was having like this leg pain last week and I was just like, what the heck? And like, I just thought maybe I was, because I have a tendency when I sit at work and even at here at my desk, I'll put my leg underneath me when I sit down and my other leg hangs off and I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just doing that too much and I'm like pinching a nerve because my leg was really hurting me. And then it subsided. I felt like because I stopped doing that. And then Friday, so this Friday the 3rd, I came, was it the 3rd? No, Friday the 2nd. I don't know my dates. Friday the 2nd, I came home from work and it was excruciating. Like I was almost crying. I was nearly in tears with how much it hurt. It went like the kind of like where the sciatic nerve is, like the top of your butt. And then my knee was like, it still is semi-inflamed. My knee sounds like Rice Krispies or Velcro when I bend it. So, you know, and like I said, I'm overweight. So the weight on it's obviously not doing it any good. But I also had like this numbness in my shin. So I was like, well, I'm dying. I have to chop my leg off. I don't know what's happening. So because the way I am, I don't go to the doctors right away. I don't immediately go to like an ER or a urgent care. I like try and do whatever I can on my own. So I was like, I already had muscle relaxants because of my back issues. So I was like, I'll take that, take some Advil, and then put my leg up. But I couldn't get into a position where it wasn't hurting. Didn't matter if I walked, sat, put my leg up, went on my back, went on my stomach, it didn't matter. It hurt so bad. So by Sunday, yes, I waited 2 extra days, I went to the urgent care and I talked to the doctor and they said that I have the herniated disc, a piece of the disc broke off and it's like bouncing around in there. So it's affecting the nerve. So I have to go and see an orthopedic surgeon to see what they want me to do. So it's not until Monday, but they put me on steroids and a higher dosage of muscle relaxant that I have to take for 10 days. So I'm roided up And it doesn't hurt as bad, but I get these really bad muscle spasms when I'm sitting for too long. And I was at work yesterday, but left early because I couldn't sit there. And I was so out of it because these steroids, like, especially when you're first starting to take them, I was just so out of it. Like, I couldn't focus on what I'm doing accounting. So, like, I kind of need to know what I'm doing. So I left, and then today I was like, I'm just going to, like, ride it out today. And I also had a bunch of other things that I was doing, or I had the landlord coming because they had something to do for some inspector or whatever, and I was like, okay, I'll just be home. It'll help my, because my son has anxiety, and when people have to come into the place, he's like, I can't do this. So I'm like, all right, I'll be home. Don't worry. So, yeah, I'm like, I have spasms right now. It's, like, spasming, but it doesn't hurt. It's just really stiff. And it's not nice, especially when you're trying to go to sleep at night. Oh my God. I already have a hard time sleeping as it is. Like, I have insomnia. I can't sleep for shit. So it's like, this is just making it even worse. And then of course the medicine also makes you have insomnia. I'm like, I might as well just stay up for the rest of my life at this point. And I'm like, and I recently started, I'm going off topic. So yeah, like, TV, right? But anyway, I've been getting this, like, cream and stuff to put under my eye because of how tired I looked in the bags and, like, how puffy it looked. And I don't normally give a shit about what I look like, honestly. And I just started to be like, you know what? I kind of want to, like, look less like I'm half dead. And, of course, now I'm like, why did I even bother? So other than that, yeah. Okay, well, that was a little peek into my shit life, but yeah, other than that, we're good. So I'm looking forward to the 50th episode, and I also reached over 250 streams on Spotify, so that's awesome. Because I don't know if I put it right up on Spotify in the beginning. I think I did. So it's been like 3 years, so I mean, you know, but I've been really pushing this last one, so I'm hoping I can continue the growth. That would be awesome. Stop it. Okay, so that's all I had. If you have any suggestions for the 50th episode, please let me know. And if you want some interaction, whatever. I think I'm going to stream it through YouTube and it'll be uploaded to Spotify. I don't know if at the same time or after it's done. I'm not entirely sure. So beyond that, I think we're good to go. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and I hope you checked out the other episodes. And if you have any other suggestions or comments, please do leave it. Follow the Spotify. Go onto YouTube. Like and subscribe. Check out my website, GabrielleCataldi.com. And my blog, I'll be adding more to that. I also have a Substack, which is That 80s Child. Have a look on that. I only have 3 things out. It's free. I don't charge on that. Obviously, I'm nobody right now or ever. And yeah, that's it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you checked out the other one. Thank you so much, and I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you again, and I will talk to you in the... This is... oh my God. I don't even know how to do my outro anymore. What the hell? And this has been That 80s Child, and my name is Gabrielle, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Bye.